Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. King David made an impulsive choice regarding Bathsheba, and a pregnancy resulted. Then a cover-up in which her husband was killed to hide the sin. For David and for us, cover-ups don't work. The outcome involved severe temporal judgment. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. In a series on making the best of a bad decision, Erwin Lutzer talks again about what happens when you make a selfish choice. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 12.
Second observation is that God is always the loser. You know, verse 14 here should be, I think, translated differently. It is in all other translations. It says that Nathan says, "Nevertheless, because by this deed you have utterly scorned the Lord." Notice that the marginal rendering is "the enemies of the Lord." Most translations translate it, "you've caused the enemies of the Lord to scorn God." I think that's the idea. God says, "David, don't you realize that your sin makes me really look bad? Because now word has gone throughout all the surrounding communities, and even the other nations have heard." You know, David, you know the guy who wrote all the Psalms, who loves God, who keeps trusting God? You know what he did? He committed adultery with another man's wife and then killed the guy. And David is the great man, the great lover of Jehovah. Give me a break. God says, "David, you know, my reputation is at stake here. And you know, people in the world don't make up their minds about God until they see us, or what they think of God often depends on how we live." You say, "Well, Pastor Lutzer, give us some grace here. Give us some grace." The grace is coming. It's coming. Notice David says to Nathan in verse 13, "I have sinned against the Lord." Praise God. Praise God. He got the message. And I wish we had time to turn to Psalm 51 and Psalm 32. We don't, but you can do that on your own. The great prayer of confession in Psalm 51 and the great affirmation of God's forgiveness in Psalm 32. "How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputes not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit." David says, "When I kept quiet, my bones were crying all the day long. When I was going through this and I was stifling my conscience and telling myself that it's no big deal, when anybody came into my office, I wondered, does he know? I walked down the streets and I said to myself, I wonder if they know." He says in Psalm 51, "My sin was ever before me, even though I was trying to cover it up. But how blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered." God says, "David, I've covered your sin." In fact, in Psalm 51, he says, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation." You say, "Well, Pastor Lutzer, that's not possible, because how can he be joyful? All the tears in the world will never bring back the purity of Bathsheba. All of the weeping and the regret on planet Earth is never going to bring Uriah back from the dead. How does he rejoice?" Follow carefully. Guilt is not a part of God's discipline to those who come clean. Oh, the other consequences can't be reversed. But guilt is not part of God's discipline for those who hurry to Jesus. There is pardon for guilt. And God says, "I've taken away your sin." You can sing again. You can experience the joy of your salvation. That's the first blessing. There's a second blessing, and that is that it says in verse 24, "Then David," this is after the child that she was bearing dies, "then David comforted his wife Bathsheba, went into her, lay with her, and she bore a son. And David called his name Solomon. Shalomu. Shalomu in Hebrew. What does that sound like? Shalom, right? Peace. David says, this little boy that Bathsheba is bearing, I'm going to call peaceful. I need some peace after all that I've been through and my family's totally disintegrated. I need some peace. God says, you know, that's wonderful, David, that you're naming him peaceful, but I've got another name for him. And the prophet Nathan, who brought the message of judgment, now is sent by God with a message of grace and says, God himself is naming this boy, and he's going to call him Jedidiah. Notice it there in the text. And Jedidiah means beloved by the Lord. Wow. Strictly speaking, Solomon should not have been born. And here he is, and later on God says to Solomon, when he's old enough to hear the voice of the Lord, he says, Solomon, guess what? You're going to build a big temple for me. It's going to be the most magnificent thing that has ever been built. And you know what? I'm going to bless you and I'm going to love you for your dad's sake because of David, your servant. Because God and David had something going. There was just no doubt about it. And God says, I'm going to bless you, Solomon. And then we open the first chapter of Matthew, and there we discover that Solomon is in the genealogy of Jesus. He carries on the line from which Jesus is born. And so God says, in the midst of all of what you deserve, I give you mercy. Not too long ago, I was asked to fly to Canada to do the funeral of a marvelous Christian leader who died in his early 90s. In order to get back to Chicago, for reasons that are unclear to me, I was routed through Toronto. Now, if you know where Regina is, it's way out west and Toronto's in the east. And then from Toronto, I caught a flight to Chicago. Now, there are other ways to do it that are a little simpler, but sometimes the airlines don't do it as simple as you wish they would. So I think to myself, oh, okay, 3 hours on a plane from Regina to Toronto. So I've got a couple of books that I should read. I've got this to do. I've got a message that I've got to work on. Who does God put me next to but a wonderful, well-dressed, educated, successful Hindu? And he and I talk for 2 of the 3 hours on that flight. I asked him about Hinduism, learned a lot about Hinduism, helped him to understand the difference between that and Christianity. We got to the subject of karma, and he says, karma, you know, if you're suffering today, it's because in a previous life you did something wrong, and then he said this, he says, karma means that everyone gets exactly what he deserves. I looked at him with a smile, because we're sitting right next to each other. And I said, I'm so glad that karma is wrong. I'm so glad that karma is wrong. I said, because of Jesus, I'm not going to get what I deserve. I said, when Jesus died on the cross, he got what he didn't deserve, namely our sin. When I trust him, I now get what I don't deserve, namely his forgiveness and righteousness. I'm so glad karma is wrong. In the midst of failure, in the midst of terrible decisions, there's God for David. You say, well, Pastor Lutzer, I'm listening to this message and I'm in a predicament something like David's. I mean, with hundreds of people and hundreds listening on the internet and on radio. What do I do? 2 things. First, run, don't walk, run to God and admit your sin. Secondly, go quickly to somebody who can help you because you need some help and you need some counsel, particularly if you're involved in adulterous relationship. There needs to be counseling and the revitalization of trust that needs to be built up. And you need some wisdom as to who to tell and what to tell and if to tell, because it's a mess. It's a mess. But in the midst of the mess, God says, there is grace, there's forgiveness, and there's help. God can make the best of a tragic, tragic decision. Let us pray. Father, thank you that we don't get what we deserve. Thank you that because of Jesus, we can be forgiven and restored and cleansed. Thank you, Father, that David's story does not end until his life ends. When he's back in fellowship, when he's back writing psalms, when he's back blessing people because of his own relationship, even as he watches his family unravel. Thank you for Solomon, who was not at all a perfect king. In fact, his heart was turned from the Lord, but nevertheless, you loved him and you kept on loving him, and you did it because of grace. Grant to us, Father, that grace. And in the midst of the mess, show your love and your mercy to hurting, regretful people. What do you got to say to God now as I close a moment of quietness? What is God saying to you today that you must do? Father, would you grant grace to those who have decisions to make? It's easy to make them in this setting. We pray that you'll give them the strength to follow through. Make us obedient and keep us, God, we pray, from sexual sin. Protect us because we're all vulnerable, and help us as a community to know that you're there, caring, forgiving, restoring. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. 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 Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and my friend, I don't know what to add to this message except to encourage you to give your decisions to God, to come clean like David did, and then experience God's grace, because he stands by to make the very best of a bad decision. He was there for David, and he will be there for us. But grace does not enter closed doors. We must open our heart to it. We must finally lay down the weapons of a rebel and give ourselves to the Lord. I hope that this message that you have just heard has spoken to you. Maybe you know someone who desperately needs it. In a moment, you'll be given information as to how it can be yours. Thanks for joining us today on Running to Win. Hope to see you right here next time.
Today, Erwin Lutzer concluded, "When You Make a Selfish Choice," the fourth of seven messages in a series on making the best of a bad decision. Next time, the story of Jonah and the Ninevites, a picture of what happens when you run from responsibility. Making the Best of a Bad Decision can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.